to start off by asking you a question this morning, but I want to tell you ahead of time, I do not want you to answer out loud. Okay? Brian, don't answer out loud. All right, here goes. Do you ever get bored during the sermon? Do you ever find your mind roaming during the sermon? I said, don't answer out loud. Are you listening? Do you ever find yourself counting the lights or counting how many windows we have or thinking, is that a new suit he's got on? Or is that the same coat he wears every week? Or, yeah, well, is that a tie? Is he wearing a tie today? What's going on? Well, have you ever thought, what does God really expect from you during the sermon? Does God just expect you to show up? Maybe throw a few dollars in the offering plate? Or does God expect more of you when you come on Sunday morning? Now, many of you are regular and you come almost every week and probably have been, some of you, for many years. So you've probably heard thousands of sermons. But have you done what God has expected of you during those sermons? We've been studying the Word of God, and we have stated from, I think, compelling evidence that God's Word is indeed the Bible, and it is His inspired Word, our only infallible rule of faith and practice. Therefore, since the Bible is God's Word, we've been talking about how do you respond to God's Word. And this morning, take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 8. And I'm going to give you four things God expects from you during the sermon. That's this week, and that's every time you hear a sermon. This is what God expects from you. And I'm convinced that these are based on Scripture, and therefore they are accurate. We're in Luke chapter 8, and I'm going to ask you to stand in respect for the Word of God. As I read, I'll read verse 8, and then we will skip down to verse 15 and read through verse 21. Other seed fell into the good soil and grew up, and produced a crop 100 times as great. Verse 15. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Now no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. So take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. Whoever does not have even what he thinks he has shall be taken away from him. And his mother and brothers came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. You may be seated. The key phrase that we're going to center this message on this morning is found in verse 18. Where Jesus says, so take care how you listen. So take care. That word means be careful. That word means to watch out. That word means to beware. Jesus uses it when he says, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but in reality they are ravenous wolves. Beware. Be careful. Take note. Watch out. Beware of what? how you listen. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about how do I listen? How do I listen on Sundays? How do I listen during the sermon? How do I listen during our life groups? Jesus says, be careful, beware, take note of how you are listening. And yet how many of us even stop to consider how we listen? How many of you get in the car on Sunday morning after church and the first thing you ask your partner, your spouse, well, how did you listen today? Or is it, well, how did you like that sermon? Or what didn't you like about that one? Or what was he saying? Or you need to do that. But how many times do we go away saying, now, how did I listen today? How did I do? Well, I hope when we're finished today, that will become your practice. Because Jesus says, take care. Take note. Beware. Be careful how you listen. And I'm going to tell you four things I believe that Jesus wants you to do to make sure of the how in your listening during the sermon. First, He wants you to listen attentively to the Word. He wants you to listen attentively. Remember there, of the four soils, only one received the Word. Only one was a good soil. He talks about that in verse 8 and again in verse 15. But the seed in the good soil. And notice also in verse 8, where Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now think about that a moment. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now Jesus repeated this phrase probably more than any one phrase that he repeated in Scripture. In the Gospels, you see it repeated. In the book of Revelation, in the seven letters that Jesus gives to John, he repeats it at the end of each letter. What's he saying? Let him who has ears to hear, hear. Now, who does that include? Everybody that's not deaf. So he's including everybody who can hear. And I think it's everybody in here. I know, your husband's deaf sometimes when you call to him, but that's selective hearing. That's not really deafness. And the problem is too many Christians exercise selective hearing when it comes to God's Word, don't they? Here he says, he who has ears to hear, if you can hear, then you need to be listening. You need to be listening attentively to God's Word. That means He wants you to listen closely. That means He wants you to concentrate on the sermon. You're not to allow your mind to roam and to wander. Don't think about what you're going to do tonight or the movie you saw last night or what you're going to fix for lunch today or where you're going to go out to eat for lunch and wondering how big the crowd's going to be because you're going to be late getting out for church. Don't let your mind roam and think about that golf game you played yesterday or that football game yesterday, Corey. Don't let your mind do that. Whether your team won or lost, don't do it. Fix your mind on God's Word, on the message. Concentrate. You know why it's so hard sometimes to concentrate on the sermon? Because you've got a spiritual battle going on in your mind every time. You think the devil wants you to listen? You think the devil wants you to concentrate and to pay attention? No. Your flesh doesn't want to listen either. That old sin part of you, that old man that's still hanging around, he doesn't want you to listen to the Word of God. There's a battle going on. You know what the flesh wants? To be entertained. And you know the Word of God's boring to the flesh. It kills the flesh. And what the flesh wants is that we want entertainment. We want a preacher that's a stand-up comic. We want somebody to come up and make us laugh, to entertain us with all these stories. That's what we want. We want to just sit back and be entertained. That's what the flesh wants. The flesh reacts to the Spirit in the Word of God. And so you have a battle going on every time you come. So expect to fight that battle. Come ready to fight it. If you don't come ready to fight that battle, you're going to lose and your mind's going to wander during the whole sermon. You're going to be constantly struggling to think about what's being said. So come ready for the battle. But what I want you to realize is that God has given you everything you need to win that battle on listening to the message. Everything you need. First, He has given you the discipline you need to discipline your mind to pay attention. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. He's given you the spirit of discipline, the Holy Spirit. So you can't say, well, preacher, I just can't concentrate. I just can't keep my mind on what you're saying. Well, you need to depend on the Spirit of God in you and ask Him to give you that discipline. And then in faith, you begin to exercise it because you have it. Also, He's given you self-control. Part of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control. That means controlling your thoughts. Now, the enemy's going to try to interject thoughts, but you say, nope, I'm going to concentrate on the Word. I'm going to concentrate on the Word. How many of you pray, Lord, protect my mind today as I sit down to hear the Word preached? Protect me from Satan's attacks that I might be able to concentrate on the Word. We all have come here today with issues in our lives. Every one of us. Things you're bringing over from yesterday, maybe this morning. The devil used to have a great time in my house on Sunday morning. I'll confess it, because I know he does the same in your house. Back when I was in seminary, we used to have to travel an hour and a half to the church that I was preaching at. All right? We had one vehicle to travel in. Well, I knew what time I felt we needed to leave to get to that church in time for me to do what I needed to do before Sunday school. The problem was Terry didn't have the same idea about the time we needed to leave. Every week without fail, the devil would get in it, and it would take me the whole hour and a half to get back in the Spirit before I got to church. So you know what I did when I graduated from seminary? I got me a second car, and I said, I'm going to church. You come when you're ready. And for 34 years since then, we have never gone to church in the same car because the devil's not going to have that chance to give me to defeat me. I'll tell you. I robbed him of that one. And maybe some of you need to come in two cars. Some battles you just don't need to have to fight, but you expect to fight battles. Expect to find the warfare. But God's given us self-control. Also, pray that the God would open your eyes to behold His wonderful truth. Psalm 119. Pray, Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from Your law. Open my eyes, Lord. And God will reveal to you His truth. Use the outlines that I give out. When I hear a sermon, I have to take notes or my mind's going to take off. That helps me to concentrate. I take notes. I have to write things down. This helps me to remember. This helps me to stay focused. And so take time to take notes, to surrender your mind to the authority of Scripture. It takes effort. It takes work. You're not a sponge. You're not just going to soak up spiritual truth because you're sitting here. You can actually be here and sit here all during the message and you leave and you won't soak up any more spiritual truth than that chair sitting right beside you. You're not going to automatically soak it up just by being here. So God expects you to listen attentively. And by the way, let me add, that's why it's important that you not get up during the sermon, because you add to Satan's weapons to distract people. Satan's trying to distract us, and you know what you do when you get up? You're just falling right into his game. Now, if you have, because of your anatomical makeup, you need to leave, sit in the back and go out the back door. That's fine. But when you get up, walk out in front of everybody, if you're sitting where I'm sitting, this is what you see. Everybody's here. That's just distraction. And you're feeding into Satan's ploy to try to get people's minds away from the truth. God not only expects you to listen attentively, but He expects you to understand His Word. Understand it. Now that means you've got to use your mind. No jokes at this point. You've got to use your mind and you've got to think. Your mind should be the most active it is all week during this time. This is not where your mind gets in neutral. You see, people think, okay, it's Sunday, it's a day of rest, so I'm going to rest my mind too. So, preacher, I'm just coming, I'm going to rest, I might fall asleep, but No. What deserves your full attention, your mental alertness, more than the Word of God? Nothing. You should come on Sunday having rested up on Saturday so that you can give your full mental activity to the message of God's Word. You need to be thinking. You need to be concentrating. You need to be mentally alert. You need to be mulling over what's being said. You need to be comprehending it. God expects you not only to listen, but understand. And that requires work on your part. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Next, He expects you not only to listen attentively, but to receive the Word. Verse 15, but the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the Word in an honest and good heart, hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. In this parable, the only soil that received the Word was the good soil. Jesus says that we are to hear the Word in a good and honest heart. You see that? The reason that this soil received the Word and the others didn't was the soil was prepared. You don't see people, farmers don't go out and just throw seed on hard ground, do they? They plow it up. They break it up. They prepare the soil for the seed. And then it grows. Your heart needs to be prepared to receive the Word of God. Now, Jesus says, first of all, an honest heart. Now, this word honest in the Greek means noble, honorable, intrinsically good, excellent in nature. And I think two things are involved in having this honest, prepared heart. First, a heart that hungers and thirsts for righteousness. A heart that hungers and thirsts for God. Man, I want to know the truth of God. I want God's Word in my life. My God, I want to know You more and more. We can go down. We can go, any one of us. I can take any one of you down to the finest restaurant in Atlanta. The best chef in all the city. And he can fix the best meal that can be placed on a table in this great city. And I can sit you down before that great meal. But if you have a virus and nauseated, you are not going to want to eat it. I don't care how good it is. Will you? You have no appetite for it. Doesn't matter how well it's prepared. Doesn't matter how well it tastes. You don't want it. Now, I can take you, if you hadn't eaten in 4 days, I can take you anywhere in town and put rutabagas in front of you and you'll eat them. And that tastes good. Well, the same thing's true about God's Word. I can prepare the best sermon possible, place it right before you, but if you don't have a hunger and thirst, you're not going to receive it. But if you're hungering and you're thirsting for the Word of God, man, I can get up here and bumble and mess up, but if I'm presenting truth, you know what you're going to do? You're going to eat it up. You're going to say, man, that's God's Word. That's truth. So you got to prepare your heart by hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Ask the Lord to give you that hunger for the Word. And then secondly, a prepared, honest heart is one not only that hungers and thirsts, but one that is submissive to the authority of God's Word in your life. You see, if you're going to be questioning and doubting and resisting God's Word and say, no, I just don't believe that's what it means. No, I'm not going to do that. You're not going to receive the Word. But if you'll come saying, God, I just want to submit to your Word, your truth. I want to live for you. I surrender to your Lordship, and that means the Lordship of your Word. So God, just speak to me. Show me what to do, and by your grace, I will obey. That Word receives, that heart receives the Word. And then next he says, not only an honest heart, but look what he says, a good heart. A pure heart, I call it. An excellent heart. A heart that lives in God's Word. A heart that resists sin. A heart that does not regard sin. A heart that confesses and forsakes sin. A pure heart is the heart that receives God's Word. Blessed are the pure, for they shall see God. So God's holding you responsible, first of all, for listening attentively to His Word, concentrating, putting your mind in gear, staying tuned in, staying focused, and then receiving that truth into your life. The third thing I believe God expects of you is He expects you to believe the Word. Again in verse 15, the key phrase, and hold it fast. To receive the Word with a good and honest heart, but not only to receive it, but to hold it fast. It's one thing to listen attentively. It's one thing to receive it. But yet it's another thing to believe it. That is to hold on to it and allow nothing to take it away. You remember one of the soils, the devil came and snatched it away. But you hold on to the truth of God. You cling to it. You lean on it. You take it and say, God, I'm going to hold it and believe it and never let it go. This means you believe the Word. Not just mental assent, but you believe it so strongly that you act on it. We hold it so securely that nothing can ever take it away from us. Make us not believe it. For example, Psalm 145, verse 17 says, the Lord is righteous in all His ways and kind in all His deeds. Kind in all His deeds. You ever thought God hates you? You ever thought God's being mean to you? You know, your transmission fell out of your car. Oh, my goodness. And then your wife comes home. You come home and your wife says, you know, honey, we got a problem. The roof's leaking. And then about that time, the phone rings, and you pick up, and it's your doctor. He said, I hate to tell you, but you got prostate cancer. And you're thinking, God, why are you doing this to me? God, you're just being mean. Yeah. Is He being mean? Or is He kind in all His deeds? Now, if you're going to receive the Word and believe it, you're going to hold on to what God says in spite of what you may feel, in spite of what the circumstances might look like, in spite of what the devil might be trying to say to you, you're going to say, no. It may look like God is mean, but His Word says He is kind in all His deeds. I refuse to doubt that. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm not going to let negative circumstances snatch it away. I'm going to hold on to the truth of God. He is kind. Thank you, God. You're being kind to me. Thank you for these issues. You promised you will make all things work together for good to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. That's holding on to the Word, not letting it get taken away. And then fourthly, not only to listen attentively, receive it and believe it, but to live the Word. And bear fruit with perseverance. Oh, that's a key word, perseverance, isn't it? That means to remain under. That's literally what it means. Literally, it means to remain under. It means to stand strong under pressure. It was that word I've told you before that was used of the military soldiers who would stand in the phalanx, which was just a line across the battlefield with their door shields. And the cavalry of the enemy would begin to charge them. And they would kneel down on their knees and hold that shield like a ramp. And those horses would just run over the shield. And then they would stand up, turn around, and throw the spear at the rider. But the word used for those soldiers remaining steadfast under that shield, hearing the hoofbeat of those horses, knowing the pressure was about to come, but yet they stood there anyway, was the word perseverance. That's a good word picture, isn't it? Man, can you imagine hearing those hoofbeats, feeling the ground of all those horses, knowing what's coming, but yet hunkering down, being willing to remain there under the pressure instead of getting up and running off? That's what it takes to bear fruit in the Christian life. You remain steadfast. You remain faithful. You remain in obedience to the Word of God. You live it no matter what comes your way. God expects us to bring our lives up to the level of His Word. This is what He's talking about in verses 19 and 20. And his mother and his brothers came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you. And what does he say? My mother and my brothers are these who hear the Word of God and do it. Do it. Obedience. God expects us to bring our lives up to the level of His glorious Word. When God tells you something, then you hold on to it. You live it even when it costs you dearly. That's what it means, perseverance. One church I was in, a fellow who was saved, the Lord told him, give up his cigarettes. Give them up. He came into my office one afternoon and he had his last carton of cigarettes. And he said, preacher, God's told me to give them up. I said, well, throw them in the trash and let's pray. And he threw them in the trash and we knelt down and he gave them to God and he gave them up. And he said, God, I desire to obey you. I desire to walk in obedience with you in this and see the victory and persevere. He got up from there, a free man. Now, he struggled. He had some battles, but he had the victory because he persevered in the Word. Listen attentively. Receive the Word. Believe the Word. Live the Word. Jesus gives us next a promise and a warning. Consider carefully how you listen. In verse 16. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. What's he saying? He's saying nobody buys a lamp. I mean, you wouldn't go out and buy a lamp for your bedroom and then stick it under your bed where you couldn't see the light from it. You put it up so it lights up the room. Jesus says God didn't give us the Word to hide the truth of it from us. God will teach us the truth of His Word. if we'll have ears to hear, and if we'll watch out how we listen. And then he makes a promise. He says, so take care how you listen, for whoever has, to him more shall be given. God says, if you will follow what he wants from you during the message, if you will listen attentively and receive it and believe it and live it, guess what? He's going to show you more truth. You ever wonder why some people grow spiritually faster than others? Those ones who are growing spiritually faster are the ones who are receiving the word and believing it and living it. They're the ones who are listening attentively. The more you do it, the more God will give you, is what it says. But then there's a warning also in this passage. He goes on to say, and whoever does not have even what he thinks he has shall be taken away from him. You come, you sit, and you let your mind roam, and you think about everything but what's going on here. God's going to take away even what you think you have. And you're going to go away and have nothing. That's the warning. Let him who has ears to hear, hear. How are you listening today? Where do you need to improve? Where have you been successful? What can you do to improve how you listen? Listen attentively, receive the word, believe the word, live the word. When I read books of missionaries and others who've been used mightily of God, I see a pattern in their lives. They listened attentively and received and believed and lived God's Word. Hudson Taylor, one of my favorite missionaries, was a missionary to China back in the 1860s, in that era. And I was reading a book written about him just the other day. And he was a firm believer in the Word of God, and he listened attentively to God's Word. And because of that, he desired the presence of Jesus more than he desired anything else. He wanted to have His presence. And so God gave him the verse out of Hebrews 13 which says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he took this as God's Word. He listened to the Word of God and he received it and said, God, I want Your presence more than I want anything, because with Your presence I'll have everything I need. But I want Your presence, and I'm going to believe and receive Your Word. Their little 7-year-old daughter became sick, critically sick. And he says they saw her life ebb away before their eyes. A few weeks later, he wrote this letter to his sister. Our dear little Gracie, how we miss her sweet voice and that sparkle of her bright eyes. But He who said, I will never leave thee, is with us. Nothing can ever substitute for the presence of Christ. And then 3 years later, his wife was pregnant with her 6th child. The child was born and 1 week later died. At that time, Mrs. Taylor also had cholera. And within a week or so, she died. Hudson Taylor knew sorrow and adversity. And yet in his hour of grief, again he wrote, I am left to toil and suffer alone. Yet not alone, for God is nearer to me than ever. I am cast down, but not forsaken. Jesus is my life and strength. And His bosom is my resting place, now and forever. If you will take the Word of God and listen to it attentively and receive it and believe it and live it, it will take you through the deepest valleys this life has to offer. And you'll be able to climb the highest mountains that are faced before you, because His Word is His power through His Spirit. Let's pray. Father, I trust that You will enable us to be those listeners that bring glory to You, that honor You, that serve You. In Jesus' name, amen.